Blog Talk Radio.
I'm looking for the last 4 digits of 649. I have to say that again. We have to say that again, darling. Jump right in. All right, let's do it. Just jump right in. I'm so, so excited, guys. All right. We got echoes and everything. I think that right now, JB, since we, you know, you messed up our whole internet system, that we should jump right in. I'm so, so excited. We have in the studio with us today, we have Darius A. Stanton in the house.
JB, the same thing.
Yep. Okay, great. Darius, can you introduce yourself? You're the host of everything. You're the executive producer of everything. I had it. I really did. Introduce yourself.
Allow me to introduce myself.
My name is
Boom Boom. Boom,
okay, come on. We got to do
Boom Boom. All the best.
Thank you, JB.
Boom Boom. Get the rest.
Nope.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having me. This is my first time live on Connected City. Oh, my God. Is it real? Oh, my God. Is it real? Oh, my God. Is it real? I am really here on Connected City with Chocolate Boat herself.
Oh, my God.
Live and direct. Y'all know who Chocolate Boat is? There she is.
Oh,
that's right.
God.
That's right. And also, the real J.B. Jones. The real J.B. Jones. So I'm honored to be here. I'm first and foremost a grateful servant of the good Lord and thank him for his grace and his goodness and his mercy and just so thankful to be alive and to be able to walk and talk and smell and taste and feel and see and hear and be asked to be forgiven for those things that I have done that have been not pleasing of myself, the Lord, or anybody that I've hurt, harmed, or put in any form of danger. I'm excited about being here. Who I am, you can go look me up at Darius, Mr. Peace and Love, Stanton on Facebook. You can go to my Instagram page. You can go to peaceinthemorningshow.com and check out our morning show, which broadcasts live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm the CEO of the Stanton Group, which is a management consulting and human development firm. And I'm involved in a project here in the state of Maryland called the 2030 Black Agenda, which has been championed by the State of Maryland Legislative Black Caucus and the State of Maryland Legislative Black Caucus Foundation, the NAACP, and a host of other organizations throughout the state of Maryland who are focused on making sure that we have a strategy to deal with how we move from one level to the next.
So
I'm also the chair of the City of Annapolis Martin Luther King Jr. Parade, which will be on April the 13th at 12 noon in the City of Annapolis. So come on out to the City of Annapolis, the capital of the United States of America one time, which is now just the capital of Maryland. But and come out and enjoy a parade that will feature speeches from Dr. King, horses, and a whole lot of other treats that will be live right on the April the 13th in the city of Annapolis. And last but not least, I'm the chair of the Wally H. Bates Leadership Academy and Summer Basketball League. We have 180 boys for the last 2 years. This is our fifth year. They come in on Thursday evenings from 6 to 9, play ball, and they go into a healthy, nutritious dinner and then take part in a leadership session covering technology, emotional intelligence, entrepreneurship, critical thinking skills, you know, how to protect themselves, how to deal with the police, how to survive, and most importantly, not only how to survive, but how to thrive and use that young, gifted, and black, and white, and Hispanic, and any other color that we have participating in the league.
Love it.
So that's what we do. And they're also there on Saturday mornings from 8:30 to 11:30. So if you're interested in that, you know, you can look us up at menaiminghigher.org or the Anne Arundel County Youth Leadership Academy.
Well, thank you. That was a introduction.
Oh,
I love it.
So pretty. That's on the topic
tonight. Right. We're being sponsored by Chrysalis for Wealth, financially secure, responsibly insure, tax-wise. You can find out more about them because we're in the tax season, aren't we, JB? Oh, my goodness. Chrysalis, chrysalispaws.com or CPAW. Insurance.com at 703-765-2076 or they have an or, okay, I have a couple offices, 301-341-1001. Guys, you don't want to mess up your taxes. You don't, the current administration, can I say that?
Yes.
The current administration has done all kind of tax stuff, all kind of tax laws. So you need to give them a call and change it and things of that nature. We're discussing the Willie Lynch syndrome. This is just a topic and a half, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, JV, I'd like to know, I want my gray for that. Okay. I'd like to go off script today, and I wanted to start with the Millie's Moments, JV. Is that okay?
Awesome.
All right. So, I'll be brief. Thank you. You know, you're going to skip all the time. I'll be brief. JV and I was having a moment, so we're doing Millie's Moments, right? And I was at brunch, and it's important because I love brunch. And I was at brunch, and I just walked outside to go get my keys or something like that. And I thought to myself, if our ancestors, your ancestors, my ancestors, even my great-great-grandparents and my grandparents did all of these things to make our people better, make us be able to vote and just do everything, sacrifice their lives to do everything, why are we not doing better? I made a phone call. This person will remain nameless because he likes to remain nameless. His first thing was, it's the Willie Lynch syndrome. I think I've heard it, but I'm not sure if I've been a little ignorant to what it really is. So I'm just a little upset. So JV, the Willie Lynch syndrome takes its name from a speech allegedly. I love when they say allegedly because we know you did it. Okay, right. Given by a slaveholder named Willie Lynch in 1712, right? And then the colony of Virginia, which is why none of us like to go there, but not the point. In the speech, Lynch described ways to control the black slave population by pitting them together against each other. His methods included pitting, see, this makes me mad. I can't even say it. Okay, I'm saying it. Light skin. Blacks against those with darker skin, turning men and women against each other, and the young against the old. So Lynch insists, okay, that by sowing distrust and robberies amongst the slaves, they will become easier for white men to dominate as they won't trust each other enough to unite and rebel. JV, what do you have to say to that? I'm very angry right now.
Reserving my JV thoughts for later because I don't want to really get into the music.
Well, it's next after. Was there anything else that you have to say about the Willie Lynch syndrome?
Would it be okay for me to go off script?
Mm-hmm. After a bit, yeah. Let me go.
Yeah, I really think that I would love for our guests to comment on what you said.
Okay, you're not going to read that part?
We go.
Okay, great. Mr. Stanton, what are your thoughts? I'm ready. You know, when they start doing this, I'm ready.
Well, I think first and foremost, as a student of B. Lincoln University, Human Service Administration master's program, you know, we were trained at, you know, Lincoln University, just a piece of history, was the first college to grant degrees to African Americans. Cheney University was the first black college in the United States of America, but which is also in Pennsylvania. But Lincoln University was the first black college, which started as an all-male school.
Okay.
One of the things that, you know, we were taught, and I was taught at home, and I encourage you to teach your children to do the same, is to do research and really be able to not only just don't take what people say off for face value because they have a doctor or a PhD at the end of the name, or because they have a reverend at the beginning of the name, or they have a whatever the title it is, or even if they not have a title at all, but they're in front of a microphone or, you know, on a camera or whatever.
Right.
Do your homework. Do your research. It's called investigative research. And so at the core of the matter is the really Lynch letter real? And there are a number of folks who say that it's not real. There are a number of folks who say that it's fabricated and that it really came along in the first real sense of it was in the 90s. You know, when you really think about and you look, just, you know, Google it, look it up, you can see there's a place in history, there's a museum that focuses on racist works, mm-hmm. racist symbols in history. And they basically have captured this whole conversation. And they deal with the fact that, you know, Willie Lynch and its syndrome or the letter itself was fabricated, okay? But then I want you to shift gears for a moment and think about what is now called the Willie Lynch syndrome. And so what I would say is that whether or not we've been able to prove if there is such a thing called the Willie Lynch letter, what we can prove is that there is something called the Willie Lynch syndrome. And I think you can prove that on the simple fact that there's a delegate here in the state of Maryland, Delegate Mary Lasante of Harford County. She's a current sitting delegate who was recently censured by the state of Maryland House of Delegates. She's stripped of her leadership roles as the chair of subcommittees and removed from all subcommittees where she's not able to vote and only now able to vote on a House floor. And the reason being is because she, about 30, 40, or 45 days ago, was in Annapolis with some colleagues and some other folks, and she used the word. Somebody said they had been door knocking during the recent election in Prince George's County, and her words were quoted by Delegate Jay Walker, who was in the room or at the bar or cigar bar, that she said, "Oh, you were door knocking in that nigger district." So people were outraged. I was outraged. I live in Prince George's County, so you're talking about myself, my family members, my children, my neighbors, and I pay taxes, and her salary is paid by the tax dollars that I contribute to the state of Maryland, as well as all the other Prince George's County residents who pay taxes to the state of Maryland. And so you can't represent me and my tax dollars, and I'm not paying you to call me a nigger. And so I've asked her to be removed and joined with the NAACP of the state, the Harford County NAACP, the Black Caucus of the state of Maryland, the Democratic Party of the state of Maryland, and a host of other organizations and individuals. But if you turn on the radio right now and listen to WKYS, which is owned by Kathy Hughes, an African-American woman, if you turn on any other major network or radio station and you or listen to SiriusXM, you can hear countless songs where people are black rappers are calling ourselves or musicians are calling ourselves niggas. You know, nigga this, nigga that, and we're okay with that. Not only are we okay with it, but we buy those albums. We buy those concert tickets for somebody to shout and scream at us nigga all day long. So ask yourself the key question. Is the letter real? Maybe not. But is the syndrome real? It's okay for us to call each other a derogatory term, but it's not okay. But it's okay for us to pay for us to even be called it. So we paying people money, our hard-earned money we giving to people who are calling us niggas, and the record companies who are not supporting us, nor the people that are out there making the music. And we're okay with that. We like that. We'll continue to support the NFL, who basically told a man who, because he took a knee, which was a peaceful stand, he didn't put his finger up at the flag. You know, he didn't do anything derogatory, turn around and pull his pants down at the flag. He took a knee. And because he took a knee, the NFL and the owners decided, you know, if you do that, you got to stay inside, or, you know, you can't protest during the flag. When the president of the United States doesn't even respect the flag. The song itself was written by a man who basically in the fourth stanza of this song basically talks about blood, black people's blood running in the streets in vain, talking about us as slaves because we fought for our freedom. And that's what that's the national anthem is about. But they don't sing that part. So it's hypocritical, you know, and the Willie Lynch syndrome is real because look at how we treat each other, and we pay people to disrespect us.
Well,
So for those who love the NFL and keep on watching it and keep on supporting it, you know, you keep wearing your face. I used to be a Cowboy fan, but how can I give my money to Dallas Cowboys
when
the state of Texas has been killing black people by death penalty more than any other state in the country? When they continue to show you that they're racist day in and day out. So you are paying into an institution that it does not care about you. 75% of the people in the NFL are black.
So
better playing.
Let's reel it in a little bit because I know we got to go to a break in a minute. So for you, the Willie Lynch syndrome is really not about what actually happened, but more about how it's affecting how we're basically treating each other. That's what it all boils down to.
Well, yeah, we've been trained through slavery. You know, we watched, we were forced to watch our mothers have sex with other people. We were forced to watch our mothers' bellies be cut out with babies. We were forced to watch all of these heinous acts. And then we were forced to treat each other like dogs because you got some privileges and you could live and keep your children together by virtue of just survival.
Mm-hmm. So when we come back, I have a question for you because I've talked to Millie about this. So I want to see what you feel about something in particular. So you think it's about that time?
Yeah, I was hoping to get that other version of it, that other little piece of it.
I don't quite agree with that, so that's why I don't think if you want to go ahead and...
I absolutely do agree with it. So before we take a break, the Willie Lynch syndrome is often cited as the reason why black people struggle to unite and overcome centuries of institutionalized racism. The Willie Lynch speech had been referenced by the thinkers and artists like Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, the hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar, and quoted extensively by Denzel Washington in 2007 in the movie The Great Debaters, one of my favorite movies. But we will be right back, guys. You are on with Connect the City, and we'll be right back. We'll take a break, 30 seconds. Millie in the City, your hostess with the mostest, and J.B. Jones.
The real.
We're back with Connect the City. We're talking about the Willie Lynch syndrome. J.B., got a question for you. I didn't really get to ask you a question earlier. Do you believe that the Willie Lynch syndrome is in our DNA? After our brief discussion, do you believe it or you don't?
I do.
You believe it?
I believe the syndrome is in our DNA.
Right, but so we just had a discussion that was in our DNA, but you don't believe some of the stuff that was written about it, like institutionalized racism and things of that nature. Can you explain?
No. When he was talking about what he was saying, mm-hmm. Me, that's basically it being in the DNA. And so that's what I wanted to talk about when we came back.
Okay.
And so I kind of feel like what Darius was saying, that a lot of times, not that it's fabricated, because I don't know for sure that it is. Maybe Willie Lynch did or didn't. I really don't know. But the bottom line is that syndrome is part of our problem. It is. I mean, and it's happening all the time. And I think the biggest way I see it happening, and it's so sad to me, is the way we're killing each other.
You know, okay.
The killing, for me, is probably the top thing on the list. Why are we killing ourselves in such high numbers? I mean, and on so many different levels, I guess, you know, being out on the streets or whatever it is.
Right.
But the bottom line is the numbers are there, and we just, black-on-black crime is just,
Let me interject real quick.
Right, because
the definition of syndrome is a group of symptoms which consistently occur together, or a condition characterized by a set of associated symptoms, right? And so you ask the question, why are we killing each other? Well, let's first of all make it very clear. Black people do kill black people at alarming rates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share on why I think that is. But guess what? White people kill white people.
We're not white, though, so we don't.
And Latino people kill Latino people.
Mm-hmm. But their crime rate isn't that high, is it?
Sure. Okay. My point is that people kill people who they are connected to by human nature, right?
Okay.
So now why is it that black people kill more black people and Latinos kill more Latino people than whites kill whites? That's really the question.
Well,
isn't that the question? Because I'm saying that because, you know, people always say blacks kill blacks. Well, whites kill whites. Blacks don't spend a whole lot of time in America killing white people.
Right, but
the only place where you
we
see white people
white.
Kill black people in large numbers is police officers who shoot unarmed black people. That's the only place where you see that. And just another note for you, just so you know,
mm-hmm.
more white people get killed by police officers than black people do.
Okay, I've heard that.
Okay, it's just statistically true. The difference is it's disproportionately black people are killed at a disproportionate
rate
because we're not even half the size. We're only not even a quarter of black people in America.
So I think we're going to need a part two because I hear what JB's saying, but I get smacked in the face many times because I agree, but then I don't understand why we can. Okay, my parents, so JV, I'm not sure how old your parents are. I know how old my parents are, and they're in their 70s, 72, 75 years old. They experience, my mother is a very, very fair skinned black woman. She went through her stuff. My father is a dark skinned man. Very, very Wesley Snipes? No, but close. And they went through that, so they did what they could to make sure we wouldn't go through it, but now we're still going through it worse. Two, I'm probably get put off the air for this, I can kill a Mexican and have no problem because nobody really cares. But if I kill a white person, I'm under the jail. It's done. I've got the death penalty. You know this. It's different. Blacks aren't really going to go around killing whites because we can't do it. Just can't do it. Can you? You'd be okay if you kill your own people or a Mexican or probably not a Japanese, Chinese. But if you go kill a Mexican, it's, okay, they're both brown. But you can't kill a white person. I digress.
Okay. I want to hear you elaborate on the reason for, because I know partly why we killing each other.
Right.
But I want to hear your reason why we're killing each other.
I want us to do some. I want you to take notes on this because I want people to follow up and do the research, right?
Okay.
Everywhere in America where there is an inordinate amount of liquor stores,
okay,
there's a lot of homicides. There are a lot of shootings and a lot of homicides.
True.
That's number one. When you look at number two, if you put a map of all the places in Baltimore City that had liquor store or liquor establishment, Baltimore City currently has over 350 liquor stores, liquor establishments over the legal limit.
Over the, what does that mean?
So the planning and zoning board, the commissions, the liquor board commission deems the number of liquor licenses that can be placed in a particular city,
okay,
or municipality.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So that you get a liquor license.
Oh.
Right? In Baltimore City, they have 350, maybe 325. The mayor, the previous mayor, to her credit, Mayor Rawlings Blake, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, reduced them from 500 with 500 liquor stores, liquor licenses over the limit. So I'm not saying it's 500 liquor stores.
So who approved it? If you only have can have this amount, how did they get approved for
the liquor board? The liquor board.
Okay.
All right.
So the liquor board is white.
So the liquor board is made up of white and black people, but they're appointed by black mayors.
Okay.
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 So that's number one. Now, if you take gunshots and track the gunshots and homicides, and you overlay the map that on top of liquor stores, what you'll find is liquor store homicide, liquor store homicide, liquor
right.
store homicide.
Okay.
You go out to the periphery where they're predominantly white areas in North Baltimore, in far southwest Baltimore, you see very few liquor stores. Guess what you see?
What?
Very few gunshots and homicides.
Okay.
There's a direct correlation between liquor stores and homicide. Now, why is there a direct correlation between alcohol and homicide? There's also a direct correlation between alcohol and, which also causes alcohol fetal syndrome, which means,
right,
just like you have crack babies, which were sensationalized because they wanted to make sure that black people went to jail for selling crack so they could feed the Pleasant Pipeline.
Right.
Right. They don't focus on the alcohol fetal syndrome, which creates ADHD, which creates all kinds of depression, suicide, you know, all of those things are caused by alcohol fetal syndrome. So you basically have drunk babies.
Right.
And the egg is drunk and intoxicated,
right,
and the female and the sperm in the community, because everybody's living and drinking around these liquor stores. The grandmother drank, the grandfather drank, so now you're having these drunk babies.
Mm-hmm.
These drunk babies grow up in homes that are fueled with alcohol that creates that intensifies domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the stats between domestic violence and alcohol, you'll see a direct correlation between that. And lastly, I'll close with this. When you look at the amount of children between under the age of 17 who are either victims of homicide or victims of shootings or the perpetrators, mm-hmm, in Baltimore City, more than 70% of them had cases of child abuse and neglect. As a matter of fact, 90%
mm-hmm
of them had cases of child abuse and neglect filed on their behalf before they reached 17 years old.
Okay. We have a caller with the last four digits of 0225. Caller, you're on with Connect the City. May we have your name?
Delegate Daryl Barnes.
Well, good evening, Delegate Daryl Barnes. How are you?
I'm doing well.
That's good. I guess you
did we talk you up?
Did we talk you up? Various peace and love, Stanton.
We're drinking that good genial water. I know that.
Yes, we are.
You know, I just happened to be scrolling through Facebook, and I saw my man Darius on there talking about the Willie Lynch syndrome and what's going on in Annapolis with the Delegate Lasante calling Prince George's County, one of our districts, the N-word. I felt it important enough to chime in.
Excellent.
Please
thank
do.
You, sir.
Thank you so much.
Any comments?
We appreciate your leadership, Delegate Bond. We definitely need to hear people, you know, take that stand. So we appreciate what you've done with the Black Caucus and the other delegates and the whole, you know, caucus in the state of Maryland, just making sure that people know it's unacceptable and that we're not just sitting by and letting it go down.
Well, that wasn't the first time she did that, though.
Well, I think it's important that conversations like this are spurred around the country, actually, because these things happen every day. But what bothers me more than anything is that we are not having these kinds of conversations. People are not outraged enough, and it affects our community. I think this is a learned behavior. It's not something that she pulled out of the sky. It's not something that she just made up. But this is something that she has been conditioned to say, and it is it's because of her environment in which she felt comfortable in saying these things. You know, so we as a people have to do better. I think Darius made an outstanding point where he said, you know, we listen to this on the radio. We see these things on television. We see these people saying these words in movies, but we don't get outraged by these things. And I think, you know, at some point we have to come together as a community and say enough is enough, and we have to take a stance for what we believe in. And I think this is a great point, a great lesson to learn right here in the state of Maryland.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
Oh, that. Goodness. Thank you so much for calling in, too.
I agree. I think she felt comfortable saying that. She was comfortable with it. She was in her lawn chair. She was chilling.
So I'm going to assume the times are changing up in the in the state of Maryland.
Well, and I think, you know, and I'll close with this. The reason why the Black Caucus acted the way that we did, because when she met with us as an executive board, she was not remorseful in her apology. She was not contrite in her apology. And at some points, she was real arrogant in the way that she was going about doing things and stating the fact that, yes, I've used the F word, and yes, I've used the Lord's name in vain. And hell, who hasn't said the N word? And this is what she said to us in a meeting where she was supposed to be coming in to apologize. And that was just unacceptable for me and the rest of our executive board members of the Black Caucus, in which we then said that we will put our foot down and do something about it. Now, folks are calling, or some people are saying that she needs to be expelled, but if you read and understand the law and understanding the Maryland Constitution, she cannot be expelled because she had not created a crime. And the only way that you can be expelled in the state of Maryland is that you have to commit a crime to have that expulsion. So some would say using this word is a crime, but it, by the law and the definition, it is not. So we have pushed the envelope as far as we could by asking for her resignation. So I think the only way that anything can move further is that there has to be a groundswell or more people from the outside demanding for her resignation.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in. That was awesome.
Delegate Bonds, thanks again for your leadership, you know,
thank
and
you so
making sure that the Black Caucus is at the forefront, you know, of this issue, and that it does not just go aside and we follow the suit that has been followed in Virginia with the governor there who called who was comfortable being in blackface in his college yearbook, didn't have it removed prior to being found out or exposed, and then his wife, about 2 weeks ago, gave some children on a tour some cotton.
Yes,
this is part of it, you know. So, you know, that was very problematic, and they happen to be, you know, Democrats, and so it's really good to see the Democratic Party in the state of Maryland take a stand to make sure that people know that this is not the party that supports this, and anybody who does come forward with that type won't be accepted. And the Democratic House leadership and the Senate both, you know, condemned Delegate LaSante and asked for her resignation and censored her. You know, they're no longer able to vote in committee and take part in that process only from the floor. And so thanks for giving that information.
Thank
about,
you so
know,
much.
Just the fact that she can't be expelled, the extent, full extent of the law that you had at your disposal, you know, that the caucus as well as the leadership there, you know, fought for and may come to bear. But you're right, we do need to make sure people should be outraged in Prince George's County, throughout the entire state of Maryland, you know, regardless of your color, the fact that somebody is voting on our children's well-being and every other impact, every other thing that impacts African Americans and anybody in the state, my tax dollars can't just don't stretch that far.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
Well, it just shows the importance again of getting out and voting on the local level. So many of us focus on just the president, but that's an example of you have got to be involved on state and local level.
You've been saying it for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
On every show,
yep.
It could be about anything, and you've been saying that for the last 2 years. We do need to take a quick break. What do you think, JB?
Let's do it.
We need a break.
But thank you guys so much, and keep drinking Jenny Al water.
Yes, indeed. We got.
I'm drinking the water. I got one. Yay!
I drank the most.
Remember, support water that supports
you. What do you mean you drank the most?
I always drink more.
Yes, you do. You always drink more.
Peace and love, Delegate Boss.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, JB.
Bye-bye.
Y'all have a great evening.
You have a great evening as well, sir. You're on with Connect the City. We're going to take a quick 30-second break, and we'll be right back.
It's Judy Shoes on the chat mail.
Young, and I didn't know there was a difference and the black and whites until I was bussed off to Bowie. I got involved, and it was just, I mean, I didn't really know to research it. Mm-hmm. I just know that what they taught us in schools, but now that we're woke, I think we're more woke than ever, but we're still dying. And maybe I just am confused because I don't understand why we can't just stand up and stand out, period. I mean, we know what we know. We've done the research. We hear people talking about it. We hear the conspiracy theories. Why can't we just do what we need to do, period? It's just that simple.
What do we see every day? Think about it.
We've seen a lot more, some progression where we have the black actors. We have the black actresses. We have people speaking out. We have still Louis Farrakhan is speaking. And still all of these people are speaking. Even you yourself, sir. I mean, geez, we have to act a certain way around you if we weren't that way. Would you agree?
Well,
if we're not that way, we have to change it. What do you think, Jamie?
Let me give you. Oh, I apologize.
I'll make my comment.
Let me give you a quick study that was done 50 years ago. It was a study done in the state of Maryland that looked at the five different areas. Crime and incarceration, education, the housing, affordable housing, finance, and the last one is health.
Right.
Out of those five areas, the only area that we improved is in education. It's the only area that's improved. But what good is the education if your health is still poor? What good is the education if you're still getting locked up at a worse rate? What good is the education if you're still not being paid or you're not making the money that you should be making, or you're not improving in terms of your financial situation or your housing, you know, your housing, affordable housing, home ownership? What good are those things? And I got a chance to see a brother named Nuri Muhammad this mm-hmm. past weekend. Shout out to Annapolis LOC. And he talked about something that's very, very basic. The two things I want to leave with you is this. We have an education system that prides itself in showing history of white people every day, about the contributions of Thomas Edison, George Washington, all of these various heroes of white America. The only time you hear about black heroes is Black History Month. So think about a black boy and a white boy who start off in kindergarten the same, and I'm turning the pages, and I don't see anybody that looks like me.
Right.
I get in the first grade. I'm turning the pages. I don't see anybody that looks like me. Right. Oh, Black History Month. I may, depending upon what school district I'm in.
Good point.
Right?
Good point.
I get to sixth grade. Now, I'm feeling pretty good about myself because I see all these people that look like me are in charge, have done and contributed great things.
Right.
But as the black child, I'm looking at it. I'm like, where am I in this book? The only person who's great is somebody else. So now when I get to 12th grade, I don't feel the same confident, strong, prideful self. And then when I turn on the television and I watch BET, Black Entertainment Television, I'm watching people shoot each other. I'm watching people cuss each other out. I'm watching women pull each other's hair out. But I don't see us as black doctors except on Cosby's show. I don't see us black lawyers. I don't see us as black engineers or all the other things that we contributed to this society. So the number three thing shows in Black America today, and I did the last six months of 2018, and almost all of my speeches, I surveyed the crowd, and what did I find? The number three black shows in Black America are Power, Empire, and Love and Hip Hop. So that's what we're watching on television. Those three shows are filled with ignorance, but not only filled with ignorance, it's about crime, drug dealing, killing each other, bringing each other down, and every now and then some element of family that's there. Now, is it real? Sure, that's a reality in a whole lot of people's homes. But that is the extent of the television and the images that we see of ourselves. So I'm going to leave you with the Obama effect. There was a test done. The students, while Obama was running before he won the election, they took a test. They failed. 60% of the children failed, right? After that, after he was elected and he was president, they took the test again, same test. 6 months later, 90% of the children passed the test.
Okay.
What does that tell you? Being able to see the image of self in a positive manner over and over and over and over and over again drills and creates something that makes you want to do something different. It makes you want to be who you really and naturally are. But we don't see that, and we don't promote it. And then worst and foremost, we support it, and we keep watching television shows and supporting radio stations and keep buying things and going to football games that don't respect who we are, and we want something different.
Well, okay. So we need a part two, because what I hear, right, we need to get to JB's thoughts. I watch all of those shows. So what? I'm still the same person, and I look at another side of those shows. I watch Love and Hip Hop. I watch Mimi. She did her thing or whatever. They weren't fighting before. They got on that show, and it's a lot of it's stage. Mimi had her. She's on Love and Hip Hop with Stevie J. Stevie J is a hit maker. Stevie J is a hit maker. Mimi started her own cleaning company. This is what she was doing. A lot of these, even the strippers, you can say what you want. But that's how they survived. Okay, but now what they're trying to do is feed their family, and they are doing something else besides what they don't want to be strippers no more. They want to do something else. I watch Power. I interview him. So he showed a sense that he really wanted to. Yeah, he sold drugs at the beginning. That's how most people started off. Master P started off that way. Jay-Z started off that way. Probably Diddy, they were selling drugs. Master P has all kinds of different organizations. He gives out turkeys.
Pump Daddy's still selling drugs. He got an alcohol label. I just told you how we killing ourselves drinking alcohol. You got to make a decision. You can't keep being over here and saying, they sold drugs.
I'm not
knocking nobody for selling drugs 20 years ago when you couldn't eat.
How's he still selling
drugs?
He's selling the alcohol. I got you. But did he not get rock the vote? I didn't even vote.
What good is a vote if you're killing each other in your community?
But nobody was voting for them, sir.
People still ain't voting.
But they did. There's the most people that voted for rock the vote. He made it cool to vote. Thank God I voted because I thought I had to vote, so I did. But what about the black really wasn't voting before that?
So you see what you just did? Let's see if I may. That's why we are where we are.
Oh, I know I am. Not we. Don't throw we into me.
No, I'm saying we. While we are as black people,
not we.
We'll still fall into the Willie Lynch syndrome is because we are not willing to sacrifice and separate ourselves from and call BS BS. You can't be a multimillionaire making hundreds of millions of dollars, and you mean to tell me that the only way or one of the only ways you can make money is selling alcohol that you know is killing our community, and then at the same breath you want to rock the vote? You rocking the vote, and you giving us drugs. You giving us something that's killing our neighborhood. He's still doing it. You can't give nobody a pass.
I like to rock myself. I just don't abuse
it. There you go.
I like to rock.
And you like the killing in our community.
I don't like the killing in our community.
I
can do both.
No, you can't.
I absolutely can do both.
Here's why we have the Willie Lynch syndrome.
I'm not affected by the Willie Lynch syndrome. You tried my life. We're not united. Do I show you respect? Yes or no?
Look, we got like a few minutes left.
We need
a real show tonight. Okay.
We got to get the JV start. I can't even believe you came on my show and did that.
Okay.
We're going to fight after this.
Okay.
Well, we're going to fight.
Let me just make this one comment. I guess I'm going to make this my JV start.
Well, you know, you have time for your JV start.
You made a very good point because you're right. A lot of us were doing certain things and have become successful. My issue with a lot of that is, one, we don't even see the positiveness a lot in those shows because there's so much other confusion going on and fighting and battling and all that. So I've just totally missed the fact that Mimi got this business and let's support her business or this one's doing this or that or whatever.
That's what she did.
But my thing is, what are you doing with your success? What are you doing to give back to the community?
To work, not to be.
With the children, because the thing that I'm all various with and the men aiming higher and those kind
of things, yes,
is the fact that we got to start reaching out to our young people and we got to get them and do something with them now. We got to stop waiting until we get grown and strung out and drugs and now we're trying to solve the issue and everything. Not that I'm giving up on my older people, but I really need for us to start giving more time to our youth. How many of us, and I'm addressing this to a lot of you people out there, how many of y'all are taking an hour or two out of your week to go and do something for a young person, a young man, a boys and girls club, or whatever the case? How many of us are doing any of that?
We're going to have to have part two, JB, because there's so many people doing it.
Wants to point the finger and talk about it, but they don't want to publicize it.
Well, it's a lot of people doing
it. You're doing it.
There's so many black men doing it. It is a lot of people that are doing it.
And women.
Well, let me tell you, the greatest thing about this is the fact that we have an opportunity now to utilize media in a positive force.
Exactly.
So I commend Connect the City.
Thank you.
I commend Millie. I commend JV. I commend DC Nightlife for supporting this effort and making sure that these kinds of conversations are being had. The reality is, though, so unfortunately and sadly, when you think about it and you go look at schools and you go to PTA meetings, go look at the numbers of students, the numbers of parents who are at PTA meetings.
No, zero.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
There's one tonight at my daughter's school.
And when you look at the leadership and you see the woman in Arkansas going all around on social media.
Speak of the woman.
The woman is the senator in Arkansas who spoke out and told them, I'm not going to accept the fact that black boys are killing each other and being killed at alarming rates like you said. But where are we in the streets?
Hold on one moment. We have caller, last four digit, 4644. You're almost Connect the City.
Well, you guys are really arguing.
I'm sorry.
I was going to tell the brother, if the man is making alcohol, it's not illegal if that's what they choose to do with their business. If there's a need,
and
he's going to fulfill the need.
Who are you, sir?
My name is Pianki. I'm calling from the Midwest. But I was going to ask a question. What's your position? And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You're talking about history. I can show you some schools like Barbara Sizemore in Chicago. It had black history all on the walls, the floor, and the ceiling. And those kids still was failing.
Exactly.
So it takes – then I can show you some schools that's all black, don't have none of that, and the kids are doing very excellent. So regardless, they have to be able to perform. But what's your position on school choice with vouchers where parents can put their child where they feel is best for their educational long-term goals, and the money follows the child in vouchers?
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to bring in caller 3580. You're on with Connect the City. May we have your name?
Yes, Bruce Purnell.
How are you, sir? Thank you for calling in Connect the City. We got a little heated out here. Sorry about that.
That's all. I think it's a great topic. And we're kind of all over the place with this, just like we are all over the place with a lot of things, because like we like agenda having a value system that's in one accord. So we can actually be doing whatever that we're doing and not have any accountability to the collective good for us all. So I think that like we have to really challenge the status quo and look at, like, because it's impossible to suppress any negatives without understanding the culture that created it. So we got to go back historically and see, like, what happened to us.
Right.
Like, what happened during, like, the abolition of slavery? What happened during post-Reconstruction Jim Crow? What happened during the Civil Rights era? What happened during the new Jim Crow? And where are we now? And how do we heal from the pain of the past and deconstruct the ideas we have in our head and reconstruct the new ideology?
Well, we thank you for that. We are running out of time. We had a panel discussion, which we were supposed to have. Can you briefly answer the school question in a minute or less? I know it's a lot.
Yeah, sure. Let me address this first. Dr. Bruce, thank you for your Love More movement, by the way. Yeah, no doubt.
Love the Love More movement.
And also addressing the fact that we are living in a post-traumatic slave syndrome. You know, where we are still living under that, and right now we're being lobbied. So let me just, you know, the brother talked about being legal and alcohol being legal, and so why it's okay, it's a need, so he sells it and it's all right. Well, it's also legal in America for prisoners to be used as slave labor. That's legal.
Does that make it right?
Yeah, but Sarah, we was talking about the alcohol.
Let me finish. What you said is legal. So just because it's legal doesn't make it right. And the fact that we are incarcerating people in Baltimore City, in Chicago, in New York City, where people are being locked up and incarcerated, judges are sending children, juveniles, to jail and being paid to do so. This isn't just my theory. This isn't something that you pull and pie out of the sky. These are facts. The Justice Department has supported it, has found these institutions racist, and these black men are being locked up, and women, at a higher rate than anybody else. So that's legal now. This is what we're talking about, legal. So don't talk to me about what's legal if you're not going to talk about what's happening to the human body and the fact that physiologically and scientifically we are being driven and fed this, and it's okay because I'm making money off of it. So if you legalize crack, we're going to go do that?
We were talking about they're selling an alcoholic drink, which is legal. We ain't talking about crack. We ain't talking about any other. What about school choice? What's your position on that?
If we make crack legal, it's okay.
We're not talking about crack. What about school choice? How are you on that?
Right.
With vouchers.
So we are really.
The shortened school choice is if you put resources in a system that is corrupt and not educating children from home first. It really doesn't matter, because I just told you that in 50 years, the current report showed that education improved in the black community, but yet all the other factors were poor. So what good is the education system, whether school choice or not, if our leaders are still selling out, if we still not supporting our communities like we need to? What good is the education system?
Yeah. All right, let me make a comment on that, and I'm going to get off from here. When blacks are polled and surveyed, in the 70-75 percentile, black parents say they want the ability to put their child in the education environment that they seem to know is best for them. It goes along with their long-term plans, whether it's public school, whether it's charter school, whether it's home school, whether it's private school, religious school, whatever.
Right.
And they want the money to follow the child. And one of the reasons why come you're pondering with this about blacks won't come together is simple. All blacks are not the same. Anyway, you guys have a pleasant evening.
Thank you so much. We have got to get out of here, guys. Oh, my goodness. We have a show. We went over. I'm so glad
that.
Can
I read some of the comments before you shut up, Dan?
I have. Go ahead.
You got listeners that are.
I know.
Yeah, let's see what
we got to get out of here. We've got to pay our sponsors.
Okay, well, go ahead and pay your sponsors.
Go ahead. Get
Rich Curry said, seems that the concept of education truly relies on the outside of our community. Becoming house and school poor. Navor sister, thank you. Another Tershawn Gross says, facts. We have been the biggest and most astronomical buying power ever.
True.
Stop buying and supporting injustice.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Molly Tabby Smith, who's a white female, says, amen. Women are feeling the same. I blame all the white men who have written our history. We have got to set the record straight.
Right. I
want to
read this one. Eddie Ellis said, check out this book, Breaking the Chains of Psychological Slavery.
Mm.
Have you read that?
I have not.
It's based on the media setting the precedent.
Right. So let me ask you one question. We got to pay homage to our sponsors. We got to get out of here. Do you feel like... They always mess with me during the show. You just mess with me all the time. My boys just went. So, do you think that black people in these type of positions? Because I can throw off Master P. Have you checked out? Have you seen Master P lately?
I love Master P.
Oh, okay. So he's doing
respect.
So much for the community.
I love respect.
He's just doing a glasses thing. Somebody else did something else, and I forgot who it was. But
LeBron James.
I love LeBron. Okay, so
I can't get with who's selling.
Okay, I got you. Okay, I love Diddy. So no matter what you say, I love Diddy.
Okay,
no matter what.
Like I said.
I digress. Do you think that these blacks, your Master P's, your other people that are doing things about your Diddy, all of these people are now trying to find other ways okay, to build generational wealth, which is what we lack in the black community. Amen. Let's do a part two on the show, because I'm going to have you back, because I want you to think about that. I think that we have tried to find other clever ways to build generational wealth than the traditional ways.
That's a show in itself.
Okay, so we have got
to. My simple response to that is we black people built the pyramids.
Right.
Are the pyramids going anywhere? Have you heard anybody say that in 20 years, in 30 years, they're going to fly off, they're going to dust, they're going to turn to dust, mm-hmm. that they're eroding? The pyramids have been standing for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we are the masters and the creators of pyramids. Do you mean to tell me that the only way that we can find to take care and build wealth in our communities is by doing something that we know is a complete demise to our community?
You're just talking about Diddy. That's it. Everybody else is still doing something. LeBron, Master P.
I'm not just talking about Diddy. I'm just talking about buying into anything that we know is not for us. And us giving the green light to it because people are making money to do it. So,
okay.
And when you think about that, think about the people who decide, I got to go sell drugs to make it, right?
Many of them do.
And
okay.
Think about the flip side of when you're now in jail and your money and your personal and your spiritual power, all of that is now removed. And is now sitting behind a cell. And, oh, by the way, the money that you were bringing in the home is now going to jail.
Give us this money.
This money is going to jail because I very rarely carry cash.
Oh, okay. Well, you got it. So we'll, yeah.
But now it's going to jail because we're sending money to Verizon. We're sending money to all these other companies. You got to buy soap in jail. You got to buy brushes in jail. You got to buy all the things you need.
Okay.
So home got to take care of jail.
Okay.
So what good is going out on the street and selling drugs when you are now perpetuating and supporting the very system that you claim that you're not about?
I understand what you're saying, but if I am not a big drinker, if I want to have a drink one day, I'm going to get a little bit of Ciroc by a black man who started Ciroc, not the white man.
Real quick, an audience member wants to ask one quick question. Go ahead.
We have to do the hashtag I can't.
I think it was a great show. Thanks for me being the audience. I'll listen to both sides. The part I think some people are missing, and you said you like Diddy.
I love Diddy.
You're in the city. He's making plenty of money. But he gets to sell alcohol.
Because he wants to.
To fuel whatever it is this empire is trying to fuel. Let him do clothes.
He does clothes. Okay, yes, sir.
Why does he have to include alcohol to bring down our community? He doesn't have to do that because he has other streams of income. But why does he do it? Because he's smart. Why is he smart? Blacks are willing to drink alcohol. He's behind it. He's not doing nothing but killing our community. I understand a lot of people drink. A lot of people like Ciroc. And he's not the manufacturer of Ciroc. He's on the face of Ciroc. Ciroc was not manufactured by P. Diddy.
Okay.
It's manufactured by another company. He's getting paid to do what? To help the black community.
White people drink it. Mexicans drink it. But okay.
So, if he manufactured it, your point will be well taken. Because it's not manufactured, it does not have the factory.
We're not distributed.
Security? No, I just can't.
It's so many layers.
But I think I look at the good in a lot of things. I look at the message, but we've got to go. We want to just a big RIP to a 157 passengers on Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302. It crashed on Sunday. We just want to just give a shout out to the hashtag I can't. That's one. Dusty Smollett, 16 counts. He was indicted on 16 counts for his homophobic hate crime. Hashtag I can't. I'm mad about that. I like him. R. Kelly was arrested on back child support, and somebody anonymously paid his bail. Hashtag I can't. But here's a hashtag.
Hashtag black men go get counseling so we can stop.
I agree with that. So
us who've been sexually assaulted or abused.
That's true.
go get counseling. If you watched your mother get beat or you watched your aunt get beat, go get counseling. Break this cycle so we can stop beating our women. We can stop killing our women and shooting our women and sexing our own children or nieces and nephews and some other young girl.
That's another show.
18. Shut it down. Go get counseling. Break that cycle.
Hashtag I can because Jennifer Lopez, right, Jennifer Lopez got engaged to ex-baseball player Alex Rodriguez. That's the hashtag I can for that. I love it. You say can't?
I can't.
I'm about to say, don't talk about my Jennifer Lopez now. We are being sponsored by Chrysalis for Wealth. Financially secure, responsibly insure, tax-wise. I love saying that. You can find more about them at chrysalispaws.com or cpawinsurance.com, 703-765-2076 or 301-341-1001. Baby, you got your one?
Hey, Not About Me Ministries. Join them every Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at 3106 Branch Avenue, Temple Hills, Maryland, with Bishop Ronald Taylor. And, of course, the best place to come, DCN Entertainment. All of your entertainment needs, go to DCNITELIFE.com.
We're also being sponsored by the Singles Factory. If you are single and ready to do more than just mingle, send a confidential email to singlesfactory@yahoo.com and start your path to finding a new love. I hope that's okay. That's okay? All right. We are out of here.
Yes, I can say what I want.
You can't say what you want. We have got to get out of here. Next week will be such a lighter show. We want to say thank you to
We
want to say thank you to Darius A. Stan. He's just such an amazing leader. He's just everything and a bag of Doritos. Yeah. Doritos now.
I'll tell you a little quick JV thought. I always say on a lot of shows, they get a topic like we had, and they give it like 10 minutes.
And then it's over.
Well, we got to go to the next topic now. So it is refreshing that you were able to come on.
And
really talk about things, really give a lot of facts and information. So
we really appreciate that.
It was a pleasure. Thank you all.
You can advertise with Connect the City. Send us an email. Follow us on Facebook. We're all over the place. But you need to advertise because this show is hot. We are out of here. I am Millie in the City, your hostess with the most.
I am the real JV Johnson.
Pretty deuces. We out of here, guys. Bye-bye.
Peace. In the morning. Love at night.
Oh, really?